Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of us watching year old games because we need summer content. I'm just going to change the title of that, like, barely every week and see if anybody notices.
It's fitting. I wonder how long it would take for people to notice.
Yeah, well, I just pointed it out, so not very long.
True.
So, anyway, you know, this is Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I am joined by James Murphy. James, how are you?
Pretty good, man. As you said, a lot of games to look back on and changing gears a little bit this week.
Let me tell you, we are really in the doldrums of summer.
Yeah, very much so.
And I think it definitely feels that way because of the July 4 holiday, probably.
That too, it being pretty close to the weekend. And just kind of, I guess, shaking things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like two separate segments, right? It's like a 3-day work week, and then you, like, if you don't take Friday off, you just pop in for a day, right?
Right. I will say, it's a good thing football season kind of starts earlier around here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I miss, you know, Utah, like our high school season started like second week of August.
No, right, that's right.
So, yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Like I said, we are watching some football from last year again. Before we do that, I forgot to plug things, I believe. You can follow James on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at JS Murphy Media. You can follow me at BFarrell727. James, what are we watching today?
Today we are watching one of the games of the 2023 season. We are watching Mississippi State's win over the Arizona Wildcats, which has plenty of things to talk about, both good, bad, ugly, and something in between.
Yeah, I brought this game up because I just sort of felt like it was a lot of different things at once. Right. So this is week two. So, and at the time, Mississippi State was 1-0. So, you know, they had the entire season in front of them, and all your grand hopes and delusions were still viable. But at the same time, it was the best win of the season, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
And definitely when you look back on it, you're like, Arizona lost to who? Right.
Right.
You know, I don't think we really knew at the time what Arizona was going to be. But also, I feel like there were issues in this game that's sort of symptomatic of what killed them. So, kind of, I wasn't sure how many times I wanted to do a Mississippi State rewatch this year, just because I don't really feel like a lot of it is meaningful for next year.
It's not, but I guess some of the biggest things for this was, yeah, as you kind of mentioned, there was a lot of foreshadowing in this game, a lot of things that you just kind of saw that, with hindsight being 20, you realize, oh, that's why things ended up the way they ended up. Oh, that's why this happened and that happened and things along those lines. And there was a lot of that.
Yeah, even though they won, you can sort of see why things are going to look completely different in Starkville this year.
One of the biggest things to me was that at home, and obviously Arizona ended up really taking off after this win. I think they only had one or two losses after this game, but actually, you know what? I think it was two. They had two more losses after this season.
They finished the year, let's see, 10-3.
Close enough. Anyway, just the fact that Mississippi State got four interceptions and recovered one fumble. Mind you, at least two of those interceptions were very much tip drills, and it still got to overtime where it really came down to the quarterback being an inch short of the first down marker on a scramble. I think with Mississippi State being given those, let's be honest, really big advantages and not being able to run away with it, was probably the biggest sign that stuff was wrong.
Yeah, and also it's sort of funny. Arizona's going to look a little different this year too.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
New coach, new conference, you know, typical stuff.
Just the usual in the modern college football era.
Yeah, yeah. So where do you want to start?
Biggest thing I would want to start at is probably... I think the biggest thing that stood out to me when I looked at the highlights was, oh, this is where the hype for Tulu Griffin was coming from. Rightfully so. He was able to really, whether it was just really to really beating out his man in man coverage and just being able to get to the end zone on a touchdown or just being able to create space or just making plays or doing what it takes to be able to create plays for the team, that's where his value was. And, you know, it's a shame it wasn't quite realized as much as it probably could have been. But again, it was a symptom of a lot of other things going on.
Yeah, let me preface all of this by saying that unlike the last couple of weeks, I could not find a copy of like the full game on YouTube. So I had to settle for ESPN's extended highlights. So I have, I don't have as many notes and points of discussion, unfortunately. But yes, I think just generally speaking, State really struggled with putting their playmakers in a good position to do stuff with it. A lot of times it was like, all right, we've checked the boxes of, okay, we're going to get Marks X number of carries, we're going to get Tulu X number of touches, and everything's going to be fine. And you look at the yardage, and you're like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly not great.
Well, I mean, I think from the offensive side of things, it was a very weird game because when you force five turnovers, you end up with a lot of short fields. And also, like, not only was it, like, a lot of turnovers, like, they came in succession. Right. The first three Arizona drives were interceptions, and then they lost a fumble.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the yardage situations and just taking a closer look. It doesn't look like, just when it came to scoring any sort of points, it doesn't look like Mississippi State had to go any further than 57 yards. And in regards to their, let's say, regulation touchdown drives, because obviously overtime skews it, they had to go a grand total of 50 yards on one, a grand total of 6 on another, and a grand total of 30 on their third touchdown.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you take the short fields when you can get them, but, you know, it makes it weird because, I mean, look, I don't really think State's offense was good in this game. I don't really think anybody would disagree with that. Yeah, they were outgained 431-307, which again is bad. But also, you know, when you have short fields, you can only pick up the yards that are in front of you.
Right. You can't, you know, it's kind of like when people complain that a team has an easy schedule. It's like you play what's in front of you, you take care of the job that's in front of you.
Right. I was going to say, well, they could just run around backwards for 20 yards and then pick that up. But then you just end up back at zero because that's how math works.
Very true. Yeah, very true.
This was not the easiest watch, even on set to highlights.
Nope, not on a highlights, not in a bar, which is where I watched it with alongside Alabama and Texas. It was quite a bit going on, good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah, I think that game was probably a little bit better.
Some would say that.
But yeah, no, I mean it was rather interesting because like some of these interceptions were wild.
Oh yeah, again, these were when coaches talk about tip drills in practice, this is exactly what they're talking about. Most of the time it doesn't happen, but in this game it happened at least twice.
I mean, Jet Johnson had two picks. One of them was just straight up a good play, but the other one was somebody just whacked the ball in his general vicinity and he didn't even have to move.
The ball just came right to him off the ricochet.
Yeah, just like truly like cosmic bad luck as a quarterback. And then the Sean Preston one where he just like wrestles it out of the guy's hands. is fairly impressive as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. That was a good one.
So yeah, there were a bunch of like really dumb things in this game. Most of them, some of them happened really close to the end zone. I mean, the first drive of the game featured everybody's favorite rule, fumbling the ball through the side of the end zone for a touchback.
Yes, the one that everyone loves, quote unquote.
Do you have a take on that?
You know, if it was up to me, I would say if you fumble the ball and it goes through the backer, I think on this play it was the side of the end zone, just bring the ball back to where he fumbled it and go from there.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. But also at the same time, I saw somebody bring this up once, and it's sad that there are like 9 million rules that benefit the offense in football right now. Let the defense have one as a little treat.
I suppose letting them have one, but I'm sure, I don't know. Having them have one, sure, but do you have to let them have this one?
It is like really harsh towards the offense.
Right? It's just like, if you're going to have a rule towards the defense, it's got to be like, I just think it should be a more fair rule, not like this, you know what I mean? And I understand how it might be hard to determine that because it's not the average situation where either somebody else recovers it or it goes out of bounds before it gets there. Like, you're at the 15-yard line and the ball goes out at the 12 or back at the 18. But it's, I don't know. It just doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, no, I think either you just return to the original line of scrimmage or where it was fumbled, because, I mean, the defense didn't recover it, so why did they get the ball?
The line of scrimmage would work, but if it's the line of scrimmage, then wouldn't you replay the down?
No. That's the penalty for fumbling the ball, is you lose the down.
Good point.
I don't know. Just a thought.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a lot to talk about with that one, but we're not talking about that. We are talking about this crazy game.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, that was the first drive of the game was Mississippi State fumbling the ball through the side of the end zone. And then, you know, the first of three straight Arizona interceptions to set up a Mississippi State touchdown. Yeah, it was just, it still boggles my mind that Mississippi State had a 5-1 turnover margin and still needed overtime.
Yeah, pretty ridiculous. Yeah, I think probably it's funny because the guy that played Arizona out of it for a while also kept them in it. Enter Jaden Delora. He threw a couple of those touchdowns, those interceptions, and then you see a couple of instances where he's scrambling and it looks like he's dead to rights, and then he ends up gaining 15 yards and being able to keep the offense going. Probably the biggest one play he made momentum-wise was the fake spike touchdown that got them on the board right before halftime.
Yeah, I was going to bring that one up because I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it was it was creative. It's not what the defense expects, taking advantage of it. And again, that building that momentum was huge.
I mean, it was also insane.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Both from a, like, who calls a fake spike like that? This was not a fake spike. For those who don't remember, this is not a fake spike pass like
Marino, or was it Pennington? I'm not sure. I should know this.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it was Marino. It happened before we were born. Who
it
cares?
Did, but I'm a Jets fan. I should know that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. No, this is not the traditional fake spike. This is he snapped the ball, did the fake spike, and then it was like a quarterback draw, which it's creative. Certainly, they certainly win points for creativity. It also almost didn't work. But also, the reason why this was, I thought, insane was that they did not have any timeouts. This was with 10 seconds left in the second quarter.
So if it didn't work, then that would have been a killer.
Yeah, no, if this doesn't work, I don't think they have enough time to reset and you know, sneak in the last like half inch.
Just looking at the highlights from that, it was crazy how the big reason he got in was because of the offensive linemen who were pushing him, who started off the play in front of him, ended up pushing him from behind into the end zone.
Yeah, sort of a what's the Philly thing,
the tush push, or the some call it the tush push. There's another name for it that I refer to it as. It's
the brotherly shove.
The brotherly shove. Yes, I prefer that one, but tush push works too.
Yeah, it's not quite that. It's actually interesting to go look at it on replay because, like, barely anybody's blocking for him. So I don't know if this was actually improvised or what.
Feels improvised, even just a little bit.
But I don't know. It almost worked. Almost worked. Or it did work, but it almost failed. Sorry. Yep. But yeah, so there was that. I mean, like, State goes, yeah, despite the three interceptions in the first half, State led 14-7 at halftime.
Just 14-7, yeah. Again, it was just didn't have a scoring drive over 57 yards. In fact, I'm just looking at a couple of these right now. I think the longest drive of the game that they had, which I'm not sure, which I don't know quite off the top of my head, but I think, the longest drive they had was the first drive of the game that went 75 yards and ended in that fumble.
Yeah.
No other drive got close.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did get touchdowns off the first two interceptions. It was the third one that they punted on. They went 3-9 and punted. And then they went missed field goal, and then it was halftime.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just not great. I mean, even the missed field goal drive, they went 36 yards in a staggering 11 plays.
Incredible.
I mean, just the stats for State in this game are so weird because... I mean, Will Rogers threw 17 passes in this game. He was sacked twice.
Felt like they were pretty big sacks though, that Arizona was able to take advantage of, at least in some way.
Yeah, but I mean, how many games in today's college football outside of Michigan are you winning without, you know, throwing 17 passes? Well, and then plus, the two sacks. So we'll call it, 19 passing plays, let's say.
Well, when you have a run game that, well, I guess in the Mississippi State's case, got them 145 yards, which was more than Arizona by a sizable margin, you know, you can get away with not throwing as many passes. And maybe that's what they were trying to go for the rest of the season and just couldn't execute it. But obviously that approach didn't quite age as well.
Yeah, but I think what also got me was not only did they throw only 17 passes. The explosive plays were on, like, you know, like the passes were thrown like 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, maybe. Right. Like the 37 yard, the touchdown in overtime, short pass. Their longest pass of the day was 37. Yards, like it gained 37 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like a quick little pass to Tulu.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That just doesn't feel right.
No, it definitely doesn't, especially with, I guess, just how much they kind of needed those passes in certain situations.
I mean, like, I understand that, like, the job for whoever walked into Mississippi State last year was going to be fairly impossible. Especially when it involved like significantly overhauling an offense that was built to run the air raid. That being said, I think everybody knew that there would be some hiccups,
mm-hmm.
but they never progressed past that, really.
In this game, no, but again, it was one of those signs of things that just did not age well as the season went on and really showed itself in a lot of losses.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, well, like, one of the reasons why I wanted to watch this game with you again was, Zach Arnett, after this game, was like, yeah, you know, we just didn't do a very good job coaching them for this game. Like, we didn't get, like, something along the lines of if we just didn't do enough to, we didn't put our guys in a position to succeed kind of deal. And, for one, I appreciate the honesty, right? But also... that's bad. That is really bad.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one thing to do that and try and build off of it and try and change it and make sure you have your teams better prepared. But if there were significant improvements to that area, they did not show themselves enough the rest of the season.
Yeah. So I think a couple things that I wanted to mention was I'm looking at GameOnPaper.com, which, if you don't know, it's like a really like a college football analytics thing. You can find, you know, games from the last couple of years, and it'll show you some interesting stuff. And Arizona had the far better success rate on offense, and a much better explosive play rate, which is interesting, which to me tells me, okay, well, turnovers killed them. I wanted to mention the explosive thing because it really did sort of feel like at least a game of explosives, maybe. I'm trying to figure out how I want to phrase it, but I feel like that was how Arizona got itself out of, really dug itself out of the hole. It was, okay, well, we did turn the ball over 5 times, but we're going to put some big plays together to kind of get ourselves out of it.
Oh, yeah, and that... You know, talking about foreshadowing, I guess in the case of Arizona here, was kind of foreshadowing of how really dangerous they'd be from the explosive play side and how they'd really be able to use that to end the season as one of the better teams in the country.
Yeah. State in this game had 4 passing plays that went or that gained 15-plus yards. They had 5 rushing plays that gained 10-plus yards. And that was sort of an issue that they had all season. So, like, they finished the year 114th in plays that went for 20-plus yards with 42. They had 42 plays that went 20 or more yards last season.
Which, and add in the fact that Tulu Griffin really showed a lot of that explosive ability in this game, you would have thought after the game, as chaotic as it was, that with a guy like Tulu Griffin and enough talent around Will Rogers, who had been there a while, that they would have been able to improve that. And, you know, the fact that they weren't was a very telling sign about this team.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for comparison, Arizona had 6 passing plays that gained 15 plus. And they had 4 rushing plays that gained 10-plus.
How many of those were scrambles, does it say?
3 of them were scrambles.
3 of them, okay.
But, yeah, and then there was, to me, like, the kind of part of that was, you know, fourth quarter, they're trailing by, or sorry, State was up by 3, and it's like, okay, well, all you have to do is just hold them off. Or, you know, they turn the ball over 5 times, but you'll get a 6th, right? But no, instead, they give up, like, a huge play. And then at that point, it's like you just have to pray for a field goal, mm-hmm. which is exactly what happened.
Right.
It's just, you know, explosive plays. I don't know. I didn't know how to finish that.
No, yeah. It was one of the biggest it was probably one of the, you could say, biggest foreshadowing pieces of how the season would go for each team.
Yeah, it was a 49-yard pass, first play of that drive.
49, okay, wow. Oh, that was the one where the guy was left wide open.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, no, State's pass rush was also not good in this game. I believe they had 1 sack. And some of these plays, like, there was one, I think it was the one that set up the fake spike, where, like, Delora takes, like, he has, like, a 5-step crow hop. And he, like, just barely makes it 40 yards.
Well, I mean, not only did they not really get home, but you could see that with, well, but even when they had him scrambling, they just, it seemed like when they had him back for what looked like 5 or 7 yards, he'd gain about 15.
Well, he nearly, that's pretty much what he did on the game that, on the play that ended the game, unfortunately for Arizona State, or for Arizona, came up just short.
Yeah, and that was another huge, big game of inches. And again, Jaden Delora, as I mentioned, one of those instances where the player giveth and the player taketh, and at the very end, the player taketh.
Yeah, and also the other reason why I wanted to bring up explosive plays was, with bringing in Jeff Lebby, Oklahoma last year, 8th in yards that gained 20-plus yards. They had 82 of them, so virtually double.
That'll get a lot of people excited in Starkville.
Yeah. Well, that and, you know, I don't think whoever's playing quarterback for State this year is going to throw 17 passes in a game.
No, they'll be, let's just say they'll get much more of a workout.
Yeah. Yep. 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 But yeah, it's just weird to see how the rest of the season transpired. And, you know, they beat a team that finished in the like top 15 of the AP poll somehow. You know, I don't know. Early season college football is weird. And, you know, I understand why we have early season polls, but, you know, don't really make a ton of sense.
Right. That's probably a reason. You know, you spend a lot of time wondering. I remember when they first started the college football playoff and they announced how one of the big things was the first poll was going to be in middle or late October. And at first you wonder, oh, why is it going to be so late? But then you watch more college football and see how things change from the early August slash late August slash early September to middle of October, and you realize, oh, two very different things.
Does anyone remember ranked Colorado last year?
I do. I don't know how, but I do.
I forgot off the top of my head how high they got. I want to say like 18 or something. It was,
I think it was after, it was after only a few games they went up. Was it after the Nebraska game?
I forget. September Colorado football was certainly something.
I remember that first, like, it did not take them that long to get into the top 25.
No, it took them a week.
Took them 1 week.
Yeah. Well, because wow. They beat TCU week one.
True, yeah, defending national finalists.
Despite the fact that they were, you know, nothing like the team that was there the year prior.
Which we didn't realize until a month later. Well, which most of the country didn't realize until a month later.
Yeah, no, Colorado was ranked for 3 weeks. They went 22, 18, 19, and then dropped off the face of the earth.
Wow.
Point is, early season polls are weird because we're still guessing.
Take it with a grain of salt, folks.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you end up with, you know, a win against an Arizona team that you didn't think was going to be all that good, and then the next thing you know, they're finishing the season number 11 in the final AP poll.
Yeah, pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I don't know. Was there anything else you wanted to mention?
That's all the big stuff, really. College football is quite the exciting sport, and this game was exhibits A through C of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a game that was played in the state of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because, I mean, they also played LSU, who finished number 12 in the final AP poll, and it went much differently.
Yes, much differently. And yeah, to be fair, in that case, I don't believe they got nearly as many turnovers. They got, in fact, a grand total of zero.
Yeah. Like I said, the turnover margin was enough for me to be like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
But, yeah. So, anyway, any final notes?
That's all for me.
Cool. Well, thank you all for listening to this one. If you want more of our Ole Miss or Mississippi State coverage, check out our lineup of newsletters at djournal.com/newsletters. And if you want to join the conversation with other fans, please feel free to check out our Mississippi State sports discussion and Ole Miss sports discussion groups on Facebook. Once again, you can find James on Twitter at JSMurphyMedia. You can find me on Twitter at BFerrell727. Once again, you know, thank you for listening and have a good one.